From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
Business like show, business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up on the show today, the singer Sara Tavares was born in Lisbon to parents from the Cape Verde Islands, and her music reflects the sound of a second generation of Afro-Europeans. And we'll meet a band that's named for a dreaded tropical disease. They give new life to psychedelic pop music from the 60s. Both bands playing live in our studio, but we begin today with the acknowledgement that there really is no business quite like show business, and one of that business's most important events is taking place right under our noses all over the city this weekend. It's the 50th annual Arts Presenters Conference. It's underway, and what happens here in New York in the next few days can determine what shows up on local stages around the nation. Andrew Taylor will be following the event. He directs the Bowles Center for Arts Administration at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and blogs as the Artful Manager at artsjournal.com. And Marion Colton-Dienstag, the Executive Director of New York's Dance Theater Workshop, is taking part in the conference, both of them joining us to discuss the event today. Andrew, let me start with you. The Arts Presenters Conference, now in its 50th year, is known as the, quote, largest global performing arts marketplace. 7,000 for-profit and non-profit organizations. What is the point? What is actually is this like a big artistic meat market?
It is a it's where business people meet. All the business people that bring performing arts to local communities all over the country and North America, all the artists that tour into those venues and the agents that that make the connection. They all come together here in New York for four fun-filled days of showcases and contracting and deal-making and scheduling, and it's really quite something to behold.
So for the bands like the two who are coming on the show later today, you know, it's an opportunity to not only be heard in New York, but to be heard by people who could potentially present them in hundreds of theaters around the country.
Oh, sure. People are here from every state in the union and to hear these bands and to find new talent.
All right. So what are some of the different aspects of the Arts Presenters Conference?
Well, the big aspect of the showcases, that's where there's very often very short performances by, I think, more than 2,500 different groups all throughout the day, throughout the conference hotel. There's workshops, of course, for people that want to learn how to do better finances and marketing and management of their facilities. And there's lots of meetings going on. And, of course, people are catching lots of shows all over the city.
Now, did you say how many? 2,500 different?
Last I heard, there were about 2,700 showcases related
Holy
to this
moly.
Event, which you can imagine be hard for you to see.
All right, so what are the presenters looking for?
Well, they're looking for performers that will connect with their local communities. They want to bring new voices into their communities from different parts of the world, but they also want great standard fare that's going to help them meet their budgets.
All right, so some of this is going on, obviously, in the hotel where the conference people are all sort of gathered, but then there are events that take place at various institutions around town, the Public Theater, Performance Space 122, the Arts at St. Anne's. Dance Theater Workshop's Executive Director, Marion Colton-Dienstag, is also attending the conference. And Marion, I understand that that as the Executive Director of DTW, you are actually attending kind of as an agent on behalf of contemporary dance companies that you present, like Susan Marshall and Yoshika Chuma.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we function as an agent. I think that what we provide is a platform for these artists to present their work. In our case, at Dance Theater Workshop, with Yoshika Chuma on stage this week and Susan Marshall on stage next week, what we have are two award-winning artists who are working in contemporary dance and they have the highest level of professional presentation associated with their work, and it's a fabulous way to see their choreographic visions.
So what are you hoping, I mean, what is Dance Theater Workshop hoping to get out of attending this conference?
Well, we bring to bear artists, and predominantly New York City-based artists, who can meet one another with and interact with national and international presenters. It's a great networking opportunity. It's a great opportunity for us to make connections with other presenters so that we together can tour these groups all around the country and the world.
And especially for dance, where there's no record to sell, you know, touring is I guess, the lifeblood of a Susan Marshall dance company, for
touring
example.
Touring can be absolutely the lifeblood, and there certainly is not enough of it. There's not enough of it on a national basis and an international basis. It's something we believe in, because not only do our choreographers and dancers need it for the sustenance of their companies and their work, but also communities, as Andrew referred to, they need fresh voices. They need the standard fare, but they need new ideas, new approaches, and certainly in contemporary dance, that's critical to the survival of the field.
Well, let me throw it back to Andrew Taylor from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. You've got many of your students here in arts administration who are, you know, watching this conference unfold as well. When they all graduate and go on to become remarkably foresighted and gifted arts administrators around the country, they will almost of necessity have different things that they're looking for according to what part of the country they end up in, right?
Oh, sure. A great a founder of this particular association always says you have to program to your market only better. That you need to know what the people are ready to experience, what they're going to purchase, what they're willing to take a risk on. But then you need to stretch them every year and say, you know, you like that. How about a little bit of Cuban music? How about a little international? How about a little modern dance? So the really compelling managers out there are certainly programming to their market because their budget requires it, but they're pulling and pulling a little bit further every time.
So if you're managing a regional theater in a small town in South Dakota, can you realistically be expected to have as broad a palette of offerings as somebody who's running a big theater in a big city like L.A. or New York?
You certainly have access to the same palette, probably not in the same volume. But I think arts presenters, you get to find maybe if you can't afford the lead artist in that particular genre, you can find an up-and-coming band or a group or a performing artist. And certainly in South Dakota or anywhere else, you have an opportunity to bring something in they haven't seen before.
Right. Marion Colton Dienstag of the Dance Theater Workshop, it's a very different landscape than it was, say, 20, 25 years ago when, you know, there was NEA Arts funding throughout the community in the 80s. Since 9/11, there's been kind of a slump in arts funding and in ticket sales, at least. How are presenters adapting? How does this annual conference reflect the kind of evolution?
Well, I think rather than a slump in ticket sales, I would couch the consumer's appetite as more spontaneous. There certainly is there is a lot more out there. There is a lot more competition for leisure time. We all know that, and ticket buyers are buying at the last minute. So I think what arts presenters provide is the widest, broadest range of work. And to Andrew's point, you know, the palette is, we see that there is an appetite. For example, in dance, the most viewed YouTube video was The Evolution of Dance. 30 million viewings of that video indicates that the American public has an appetite, not just for dance, but also for the live performing arts. And that's what Arts Presenters is about. It's about celebrating live performance, and it's about assuming that the American public is smart and wants quality work in their communities.
Well, Marion, you make a good point that a lot of what the audience does is much more spontaneous these days. And, you know, major arts institutions, symphony orchestras, anybody who relies on subscription ticket sales has, you know, they've been wringing their hands the last few years because subscription tickets are a tough sell and people just, you know, it's all walk up these days. And Andrew, that's something that arts administrators have to learn to live with and deal with.
Oh, sure. Well, in our MBA program, cash flow is something we talk about a lot because, as you said, you used to have a season, you'd put a brochure out, people would buy, give you cash months and months in advance. And you could start to figure out what was going to happen. Now they're buying day of show,
right.
Which you can't blame them for. They have lots of opportunities in their lives, but it's killer on the traditional business model of a presenter, which leads them, unfortunately, to make conservative choices sometimes because they need to know they're going to sell the house.
Right.
And if they're not confident that they're going to do it in advance, they need to do it day of show, which means they may not book the artists or the acts that they think their audience isn't ready for.
All right, well, the Arts Presenters Conference, its 50th incarnation, is happening here in New York at various places around town this weekend. And we've been speaking with Andrew Taylor, who observes the conference each year as director of the Bowles Center for Arts Administration at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We've been speaking as well with Marion Colton-Dienstag, the executive director of Dance Theater Workshop. And much more about APAP, as the conference is generally known, can be found on the soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. Who will the hot acts be this year? Well, we don't know yet, but we have two of them lined up outside our studio, and we'll start welcoming them in a moment. Andrew and Marion, thank you both for being with us today on Soundcheck.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Coming up next, the World Music Marathon Global Fest happens this Sunday as part of APAP, and we'll have two attractions. First, the Cape Verdean sounds of Sara Tavares, who joins us next. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.